I can tell who's on the way out. 25 shows, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out.
How did you become a comedian? I want to hear this story. Where did this come from?
During the pandemic, it really...
Yeah?
It put me over the top.
Did you always have your passion to do something like that?
Yeah, I was always like funny. You know what I mean? I could always tell a good story. You know, when you grow up the way I grew up, you know, like I said, we hang out like 50 kids a night. All we did is just rip
bus
each
balls,
other
bus
all
balls,
night.
Yep.
All day and night, we'd be in the park ripping each other day
yep.
and night.
Yep.
You know, and it's like you learn how to tell a funny story because you usually tell a story for 20, 30 people. So you got to make it entertaining. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's because you always naturally had that instinct to fucking talk in front of a crowd. For me, like we do like the comedy videos. I don't know if I'd be able to ever do traditional stand up. I don't know. I just don't see myself. But I also grew up similar, maybe not 50 kids together, but a good like 10, 15 kids together busting each other's balls. That's why it's like never hard for me to like, I guess, act in front of a camera and improv shit. Cause like you kind of always have something off the top of your head. But to me, I've always been an introverted person though, to be honest. So to stand up on a stage in front of fucking 30, 40, even 50 people that I don't even fucking know sounds fucking scary.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's like anything else. It's once you get into that, right? When you got to understand the high that you get, I'm telling you, when you light a room up and you come off stage, I've never felt anything like that before in my life. It's such a crazy, you know, in the beginning when I first started doing it, bro, I couldn't even sleep. I would call, I would be up all night. I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
I was just like on this crazy high. Damn. You know what I mean? Like, damn, this was nuts. I couldn't even, you know,
that's
I want to do this all the time.
That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good feeling. You know, you make people feel good. Everyone comes up to you. My God, you were so fun. I felt great. I had such a good time. You know, people are like, I was going through, I had such a bad week and this. You know, all the time I get messages like that. Oh, keep doing, you know, comedy. I watch your stuff every week. It makes me laugh. It makes me feel better, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what it's about, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, we get similar stuff with the videos. It is a good feeling. I couldn't imagine doing that, like, live. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
it would probably
actually see people,
go well.
What the fuck are you doing over here?
I just want to ask you a question.
Go into the mic a little more.
I just ran across the street to get an ice cream. You want a bite? You want a bite?
This kid's shot.
No, listen. Serious question, though. I want to ask you this because it's one of
Joe Rogan mode.
There we go.
It's one of the most horrible things that ever happened to this country. But you're from that area, right? 9/11.
Yeah.
Where were you at that time? Like, can you tell us a story about where you were? How'd you hear about it? Like, what was going on in New York at that?
Well, this just got fucking deep.
No, I was actually in Florida when that happened.
Oh, you weren't there?
Yeah, no, I wasn't there.
What's funny, when the marathon bombing happened, I was in New Hampshire. I wasn't even in the state either.
Really? I was right up the street working at Expressions selling sneakers, like a mile away.
Damn.
So you weren't even there to tell us a story.
I was fucking 1 year old when that happened. How old are you? Like 4, 5?
Six. I was in first grade.
Yeah.
Crazy shit. I thought you were over there. That's why I asked.
Well, you really dimmed the conversation.
That was a lovely story.
Butterflies and roses.
We were just having a friendly conversation about telling jokes. This kid comes in. Yeah, where were you when the Dawes got bombed? Where were you during that day? I was.
Talk about some different stuff too.
Since you brought the room down, I just want to say that yesterday I lost my grandmother.
Did you really? Actually?
Yeah, but. We found her. We found her. She was in the frozen section. She was only lost for like 2 hours.
You're fucking prick. I actually thought your grandmother died.
I'm over here feeling bad. Yeah, fuck yourself.
This fucking head.
She died a long time ago.
She's in the frozen section. That was good.
Did you hear about the kidnapping? Did you hear about the kidnapping yesterday in Queens?
No.
No, he's still sleeping. Don't worry about him.
The CCS. This kid said he goes to the gym. He's visiting his friend Jim. He's not going to watch the ball.
First of all, you can't eat 4 meals a day and then go to the gym.
Why not?
It doesn't work like that.
You got to get it right when you wake up or you're done.
Yeah.
If I don't get my workout in by 10 a.m., it's done.
I've been saying
days, like right now, I don't want to go to the gym.
I was going to go to the gym after the podcast. No way.
We're going to eat pizza after this.
Oh my God. I'm going right home.
Linwood Cafe. We got to go to Linwood Cafe for a slice.
You work out?
No.
You look like he works out.
I work out, and I don't look like I work out. So yeah.
Listen. When I do go to the gym, I'm always going. My look that I always go for is people like, "Hey, you used to work out?" I'm like, "Yeah, I used to work out." I never really. I'm not looking good. I'm happy with the compliment of people thinking I used to work out. Even though I go to the gym every day for 2 hours.
Yeah, like, they're like, "I can tell by your frame. You used to really get it in."
Yeah, no, honestly, you still got it.
I work out 4 days a week. I don't look like I work out because I eat fucking 10,000 calories a day.
See, that's
but
the
when I go to the gym, it does help me with my mind, and I feel mentally less stressed out, and I, you know, I'm just more calm after the gym. So not everyone who goes to the gym has to be ripped and in shape. Like you just go.
You know, you could try too. That would help. The same thing, jerking off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like that work? I feel like jerking off does the opposite for me. I feel like a piece of shit. I haven't worked out yet, and I'm a loser.
It's like you're in AAA.
You know, I read a fucking
men's
health magazine, and they said every time you ejaculate, you burn 150 calories.
Shut the fuck up.
And you add like 5 minutes onto your life.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm gonna live to at least 250. You know?
Yeah. Damn. Do you have a favorite, like a favorite bit or a favorite like joke or line that you tell at your shows? Or,
yeah, I mean, I have a. You know, like I the bit I do about Stephen Hawking, I like. It's one of my favorite. I haven't said it actually in a little bit, but it's one of my favorite jokes.
Is it like too long to go through?
No, I mean, like the whole thing was, I don't have. Do you know anything about Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, he was in the wheelchair. He had to type on the computer to talk.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was one of the.
He's like a genius, right?
Right. He was one of the most brilliant minds of our time. Right. He was obviously bound to a wheelchair. He had ALS or AI?
ALS, I don't know. I'm not sure what he had.
And then, you know, he ended up being, you know, having a cerebral palsy or whatever it is, right? So the thing with him was, and this is where I lead into, like, right away, is I always say men are as faithful as their options, right? That's it. It's the truth. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, some guys are strong and have a strong will and maybe could hold out, but the majority of men are as faithful as their options. And he is the prime example. Because Stephen, I don't know if you know this, was married.
Right? That's a fact?
Yes, he was married for like 30 years, like 27,
but he has no functioning.
Right, so he was married. So 3 years into his marriage, this all started happening. He ended up getting ALS. And so the wife was with him like 27 years.
But did he have money before he... got
I don't
whatever
yeah I mean he walk. Was kind of like yeah he was kind of well off he was still
I'm just wondering if this wife's smart. A real one or no, she just there for the
this
money
was like
or
back
what?
In the day so like you know she was a real one okay. but then what happened was she ended up divorcing him she actually what happened was he cheated on his wife with his nurse
no way.
And then
this is a true story
then he left his wife of 30 years for his nurse right. Or like
how did he cheat?
Jerry. This is what I'm saying. I have so many questions. Because here's the thing. When they got divorced, the wife came out with this tell-all expose on how Stephen was, you know, basically a piece of shit man.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Even though he was a paraplegic, he was a piece of shit. Right? And the best part.
He's just like typing her paragraphs on the computer.
Yeah,
talking
but she
that
was
shit
saying he was very, very abusive. Like she said, like very, he was physically, verbally, and mentally
physically.
Abusive.
Yes. Physically is where I'm a little confused.
Right.
Just dive into that.
Right. So my thing is like, first of all, he's physically, like, what did he do? Run over your toe with a wheelchair? Right. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. Was he like, he was like, make my bath, bitch, and then rammed her with the wheelchair and knocked her in? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Right. Even too, she said he was verbally abusive. Verbally, like, was he like, you are a whore, like,
yeah,
you
right.
know what I'm saying, like, you dumb bitch, like I don't understand,
just
like
on his computer,
like the crazy part is but he was a paraplegic. She could have literally shut his computer off, just rolled him into the corner, and said, now you're gonna sit in timeout to learn how to
just
behave.
Turned his lights out,
like unplugged his battery, just walk up the steps. Like, I don't understand how he was abusive. And then mentally, she said the way his eyes followed me around felt like he was peering into my soul and scrambling my brain.
Like the Mona Lisa?
Yeah. I mean, this man couldn't even scramble eggs. How the fuck
is he
scrambling
your
brain?
Brain?
It makes no sense. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
And don't even get me started on the nurse. Right? Don't get me started.
I'm just like confused how they cheated. Can he have sex?
This is what I'm saying. So obviously he had a, we knew he had a PhD. Is he alive? No, he's dead, thank God. But nobody had a PhD
human being
in physics. And who knew he had a PhD in real life? Pretty huge dick.
Right? Who knew? I heard you say that on stage before. You,
that's his go-to,
hey, what's the most people you've ever performed in front of?
1,200.
Really?
Damn.
Who do you look up to for stand-up comics? Who's your favorites?
Locally, like, you know, obviously the big ones. Dave Chappelle's the man. Kevin Hart, like Bill Burr. You know what I mean? Those guys are brilliant, you know? But, like, then, you know, I have Mike Marino. I'm on tour with. I love Mike. 30-year veteran. Good, awesome. Great comedian.
Like, I have his phone number. We FaceTime and stuff, but I'd never had the chance to meet him. He's funny, you tell me.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. He's good.
Who did you put, the 1,200 people, who was the main event there that you were performing with?
Mike.
Oh, was Mike 1,200?
Yeah, Mike. Mike's worldwide. He goes to Dubai. He's all over the place, Mike.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's booked. I mean, he just stays on tour. That's it. He's just steady booked. He just goes.
We got to get him here to perform at the Wilbur, bro, in Boston. Wilbur, I just said, bro, you fucking asshole.
You got long enough. You made it long enough.
The Wilbur Theater. Maybe we can get him booked up over there. We can make it happen.
We could definitely. I know some of the people over there.
I know the one guy, the security guy, Johnny, little short guy, tough as nails.
Yeah,
that's my man right there.
I know the box center, too. The one Drewski did a show there. And that holds a lot of people.
Where was that?
Theater District. It's near the Wilbur. It's not the Wilbur though. It's called the Box Center or something. Or
don't know where that is.
It's over there somewhere. Whatever. What's the hottest part about being a comedian in your opinion?
Or the hardest part,
like when you perform, I guess.
Do
you find it hard at all?
No, I mean the hardest part. Like for me, it's just the before I go on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't like to, a lot of comedians like to just be alone, sit there and get in there. I don't like to do that at all. I like to just
go right in.
Yeah. Like, just start drinking, hanging out, having fun. Like, I'm all about having fun. That's like my shit. If I'm not having fun, it's like, it's not fun for me. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, like that's really my shit is like just chilling, you know? Like, I don't think there's a hard part. You know, a hard part would be doing a crowd that's not your crowd and you're putting in that work. But it's not hard. You have to earn that.
I feel like you did a good job at the one we went to at the dispensary.
Should I say?
Yeah, and I could tell like a lot of those people weren't even your crowd, but like you still got some laughs out of it. It was good.
100%.
That's probably like the thing I would be most nervous for as a comedian is like if I'm going into it knowing that this is not my crowd, I'm like I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. You know what I mean?
My worst fear about being a stand-up comedian is if you're on stage and you think you're saying good content, funny stuff, and no one laughs. Like, and you get
That's exactly what I was saying.
What do you do though? Like,
here's the thing: you got to read the room, right? So, like, I don't have like this set. Like, this is what I'm gonna say from start to finish. I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say this here. I'm gonna say that there. Because the thing is, when you do that, you set yourself up for failure.
Right.
If you're doing like even a 10-15 minute set, you should have 30 minutes worth of material.
And you have to see who your audience is.
Right. Because you need to pivot out. You need, you know, your voice is your voice. People, even if it's not your crowd, they're still gonna respect and kind of get what you're saying if you could bring them on that journey and find that like that common ground where they can relate a little bit.
How often are you coming up with new material?
A lot. I always come up. Yeah. I try. The thing is, I always try out new stuff and then I work on it. You know, I have a lot of material now. So like I try to just, what I've been really trying to do lately is just work on that and make that even funnier. Yeah. And then, you know, but
double down on it.
Yeah. You know? When you see something, you can't help it. This is funny. Yeah, I wanna, you know what I mean? Yeah. You just think about it, write something down. Fully, or whatever.
Crowd work's good. I noticed, I forget what the fuck you said. There was a dude in the crowd at the one I went to, and he looked like a fucking, just like a racist. And you were like, oh, this guy was at the January, everyone, we got the guy from the January 6th White House fucking invasion here.
Yo, that guy was nuts, too. Yeah, he was like legitimately nuts.
Where was this?
This was at
Fenway, like Fenway area.
Yo, it was because he was messaging the the people that are promoting the show. And then when I got there, he's like, yeah, I'm on the show tonight. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, who put you on the show? I said, this is my show. And he's like, I'm like, yeah. I go, how many times have you been on stage? He's like, never. I'm like, you're definitely
You should have let him do it. Oh, my God. I wish I saw him do it.
No. Bro, he, listen.
I don't know.
He looked like, you ever have a really fucked up Uber driver? Like, yes. The motherfucker looks like he volunteered for electric shock therapy.
Yes.
Like, that's what this dude look like straight up. Which makes me laugh because we don't, it's like, think about what we became as a society, right? Like, we don't trust people, our neighbors, or this and that, but yet we trust a dude that looks like he just came back post like a pop apocalypse to, like, to deliver your food. Like, I wouldn't trust this guy if I seen him walking down the block, but yet he's bringing me my food.
Fucking hepatitis A to
Z. I don't like it.
You know what was funny about my Uber experience, right? When I caught that drug charge when I was younger, they wouldn't let me drive for Uber. Like, a couple of years later, I was like, once the case got, I got a quaff, continuance, whatever, fine, then, right? I went to go sign up to drive Uber because I wanted to make some money. And then they sent me back. They did. They ran the quarry. They said, nope, you're denied.
You're out, kid.
Oh, I can't drive Uber, but I can get in an Uber? So,
and it's like, how do you expect me to not sell drugs and make money? I'm trying to get an upstanding job, and you're not letting me get a job. Just, I'm gonna go back to doing what I was doing now. Like,
just because of the drug, like, that doesn't make sense though. They won't let you drive for Uber, but you can take Uber. It's the same app, except you're driving.
What do they think you get? The thing is,
you're gonna steal a couple Big Macs.
Here's the thing. If you kill an Uber driver, it's like, oh, what are you gonna do? That shit happens. But now, if you're the Uber driver, and you now it's a reflection on them. So it's like, they don't really give a fuck about you, but they give a fuck about themselves. Oh,
that company looks, yeah.
The fuck I is guess. Killing someone after doing selling drugs? I guess the fuck you saying?
But I'm just saying, you
it's
know
a
what
reflection.
Mean?
It's a reflection on
yeah, the company. Yeah, like they have Uber. Some weird rules. Uber. Yeah.
Everybody got weird rules. It's all fucking, about, you know, protecting yourself.
Fucking
you know?
Uber. You know? Can't stand Uber. I'd rather ride my bicycle 40 miles.
What's your worst crowd experience? Do you have like a number one that tops the list or a couple? Or
I mean, the closest I came to bombing was one time I did the show at Stand Up New York, and it was a Sunday. So it was Judy Gold was headlining the show. So the demographic was like 55 to like 75 year old Jewish women. And the first couple minutes I'm crushing, I'm doing my thing. And then I'm like, I'm doing so good. I'm feeling myself. And I do this a lot. I'm like, let me try a new joke out. I tried an R. Kelly joke out.
Okay.
Yeah.
With 55 to 65 year old woman.
All just 55 to 75 year old Jewish women.
R. Kelly that, pissing on
yeah,
kids.
They
yeah.
had, first of all, no idea what I was talking about, who I was talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
they just knew I was singing some song. I don't see nothing wrong with a little piss on your head. Yeah, that's it. You had to see their faces. It was hilarious because they weren't like mad. Or like upset, they were smiling because they like wanted to laugh, but they didn't know when to laugh. They didn't know what I was talking about.
So when you said you almost like you didn't know what to say after that, like
no, I did. The thing is, like nobody laughed through the whole bit.
Yeah.
So like,
how long was the bit?
I cut it down to like it had to be like 45 seconds, a minute.
That's tough.
You know what I mean? There's because no I'm laughs, used to getting laughs every like 10, 15, 20 seconds.
At the end of that bit, you're just like, yeah, no one gets it.
No, I just looked at everybody. Like, yourself, when I was done, I started laughing hysterical. Then I looked at the crowd and I said, don't worry, we only have another 45 minutes of this. And everyone just started dying laughing and I just went into some other bullshit.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, you can't knock them all out of the park.
Listen, here's the thing. No one knows what you're going to say next. So if you get stuck up there, you can't be like, the thing. They don't know. Just go off on a tangent. Be like, you know what? I was going to talk about this, but fuck that. I'm going rogue.
Just say something
to gain the crowd back with you. Yeah. That's it. You just say something to make, you know what? I was going to do this because I've had it. Listen, I was on stage in New Hampshire. I was doing a show with Mike, and it was at the Laconia Theater. Mm-hmm. And I'm up there, you know, I'm doing my thing, and, yo, my toothpick falls on the floor. Bro, I swear to God, my mind went blank. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, I noticed swear that. To God. Just like, you're always using the toothpick
on stage. Like, just like my thing. Yeah. Yo, I didn't know what to say.
That little thing happened. It fucked up your whole...
I went blank, and I was like, holy shit, Like, I couldn't think of anything. So I just looked down. I looked at the toothpick. I did the sign of a cross. Everyone started dying laughing. I was like, let's have a moment. I said, I just lost something very precious, special to me. You know, like, I made it like it was this whole gangster mafia thing. Yeah. And then I just dove into something else. But
how long have you been doing this for, though?
3 years now.
So you've only been, how old are you, 60, 61?
Yes, I'll be senior citizen in about 2 weeks.
So you're new to the game.
Somewhat, yeah.
What's your real job? Tell us what you do for a living besides this comedy stuff. What's your real job?
So I'm a project manager. I build labs across the country.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you manage the project. So fucking
I thought you were going to say waste management.
You know what?
I'm always thinking fucking the worst. So no, what do you do?
My family did. Actually, I worked on a garbage truck a long time.
Actually?
Yeah.
For what?
I did.
The garbage trucks, the waste
management. My family had a garbage business, DeCostello Carding.
That's very fitting.
So you're a legit, you build what kind of labs across the country?
Medical labs, like for Moderna, Johnson & Johnson,
I can't picture Columbia. You getting your fucking hands dirty. What do you really do for this company?
I manage the project. You know what I mean? I oversee the project, make sure everything's, you know, being handled,
so you're
deal
like
with the client,
the
deal with the...
the
yeah, like I pretty much deal with the day-to-day, deal with the client, go to meetings, you know,
do you
make
to,
sure the job runs, you know,
you went to college
scenes.
For this?
No.
Nice.
No. I went to college to become a stockbroker.
Okay.
Wow. And then 9/11 happened. That was the end of being a stockbroker.
Yeah, you were all set with that.
The end of that.
Bye bye. I'll pass.
Yeah. Yeah, you just bring down to. You bringing me right.
I'm asking you what you do for work.
Places.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything
just,
bad this
every
time.
Every time you talk, we just go back to.
I said, what do you do for work? Do you go to college?
Yo, it keeps going back to like 9/11.
Yeah, I don't know how it's still making it back there.
That was just a
fucking prick. So, what's your goal, man? What do you see in the next 5-10 years for Pork Chop? Actually, before we start wrapping up, where the fuck did Pork Chop come from? Where the name Pork Chops?
I had the name Pork Chops forever. I had it since I was like a little kid.
Really?
Back in
How'd
the
you
day.
Get it?
Yeah, back in the day, there was this crazy turf war going on in front of my house. And I ran outside with a butcher knife and I was like, I'll cut you up in the pork chops. Started swinging a butcher knife and that was. Ever
that
since
was it?
That day.
You know, pork chops?
Those are the origins of pork chops.
I think it's funny. You always
True story. True story.
Some of your bits, you're always like, I look exactly how would you say?
Yeah,
you say
I literally look the way I sound. Like, there is no, you know what I mean? See, like, that's my favorite shit. Like, little, like, those little zingers. I like, I like corny jokes.
Yeah.
You know, two of my favorite styles of comedy is the depressing. Like the people when they're all depressed, I think that's hilarious. And I like little zingers, like or dad jokes that are corny.
Yeah, that makes me laugh.
You know, like how could you tell a gangster has OCD?
How?
He's only into organized crime. You know, like stupid shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know this guy, he was a gangster. He ended up getting a job as a janitor. He thought he could scrub his record clean. I'm like, dude,
those little
shit
one-liners.
Doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work
funny.
Like that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's something I've been trying to think more of too. Is like for the videos we do, like the one-liners are always good, bro. Those are the ones that get people. Because that gets people commenting, like, oh, like, or even if you take lines from movies, people love that, bro.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know, people sleep on that. I'm like, you know what? This is a podcast. I'm not giving anybody any good ideas.
Fuckers. No, I'm not giving
out
any
I'm
good
just
material.
To give out a real good idea.
Nah, fuck it.
And caught myself.
Hold it in tight.
Man, fuck you.
We'll talk off.
What are you on original motherfuckers?
We'll talk off camera. We'll talk off camera. So now I can ask you what's your goal with the comedy stuff over the next 5-10 years?
I mean, I want to sell out fucking stadiums. You know what I'm saying?
Like that's the goal, bro.
I want that fucking rat. That rat. I was like, I want that Matt Rife money.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
You make millions back,
bro.
Yeah, like he's fucking killing it right now.
What are your thoughts on like someone like that? Like then leverage social media and he's fucking killing it.
He's doing his thing.
I feel like he gets a lot of flack too, though.
The girls love that kid.
Well, he gets a lot of flack because he's popping. He's doing something right. But he gets a lot of flack for
like, always like
it's like, bro, he just does crowd work. He can't do anything else. Right.
He's selling out fucking stadiums like it's nothing. Who cares? He could go up there and shake his fucking tail feather.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's what does it matter?
Yeah, I agree.
He found a lane, found a market, and he's fucking
hammering it, bro.
Killing it. Right now, if you hate on the dude, it's just because you need to step your game up.
That's
straight
it.
Up.
What about
I feel like that about everybody.
Maniscalco, you think he's good?
Yeah, Sebastian's funny. You know, he's a legend. You know, the only thing is I wish his last special was just more for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, I get he's on brand what he does, but I feel like I want more from him. I don't know why. Okay. I just do. I mean, who the fuck am I though?
Yeah. I like how with comedy too, because I mean, eventually I want to do some sort of live entertainment. Like I said, I don't know if I would ever do like traditional stand up where you're like telling jokes and stuff, but the crowd work stuff is like intriguing. Like I went to, you used to know the dude Drewski on social media.
Yeah,
black,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like a black comedian.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's on a tour right now. He does like a, it's like a mini talent show he's like a judge for, and he like busts the people's balls that come in to dance, sing for him and shit. So he turned that into a live show, and he has people come on stage and he mess with the crowd. It's probably like a good hour and a half, 2 hour performance. But I could see us doing something like that one day. Yeah, you know what I mean?
All the kids.
Like I want to have like the, I want to have like the deli counter on a stage, like a set, and like fucking, why not? I don't know, like something, but fucking with people like that's that. But I was what I'm trying to get at is I like how there's different forms of life. Right. The thing, right.
Here's the thing. It's all about entertaining people. Yeah. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, people don't remember your jokes. You think they remember all your jokes? They might remember a couple words, a punchline here and there, but no one remembers anything you say through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What they remember is how they felt during the show. They felt good. They had fun. They laughed. They were in the moment. They enjoyed it. That's what it's all about. It's just about entertaining, you know?
That is true.
Sometimes it's not about the ha, 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 ha. You know what I mean? It's about like the
Right.
You know, like I have a comedy mentor, this guy Taran Vangazri. He's out in L.A. He runs one of the best nights, Thursday nights at the Laugh Factory. And, you know, I have to credit him with a lot of the stuff I'm doing because, you know, he really gave me insight and stuff that I would have to learn. Took me 10 years to learn. So, like, shout out to Taran, my boy.
Taran.
Yeah, Taran's the man. Funny motherfucker. He tours with Maz Jobani. He's half Persian and half American.
So, Tehran is the capital of Iran, right? So, yeah. Iranian.
Iranian. It's actually, he has a funny. So
that's not his real name, though, is it?
That's his real name. He has like this whole funny
that's
thing
like you
about
being
that.
Called Boston.
Bro, it's funny because he's like, you know, he has a joke about it where he's like, you know, like it's to his parents. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? He's like, I'm a black man in America and you name me Tehran? Like, I'm already on like on fugitive hit list. I can't leave the country.
You're already on an Amber Alert. Yeah, you're already on a no-fly.
He's like, you really fucked me, huh?
That's
like,
funny. I'm excited to see where Pork Chops comedy goes. It's definitely going to be in some more skits. Yeah,
you know, 100%. We're always here supporting always, you. What's up with the merch? You have any merch for sale?
You had a hoodie. You were wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, I always have merch. I mean, I put it on like Spotify. I think I got something on my.
When's what?
So I got to get more aggressive with that shit.
What's going on with when's your next upcoming shows in Boston? This will probably go out in a couple weeks. So, I mean, I don't know if you want
to. Yeah, Boston. Foreshadow. I don't know. I know. Well, I'm supposed to. I don't know. This month, sometime I'm supposed to be doing Capos.
Anything for the end of November, December, early December, anything booked out yet around here?
Nah, I'm bad with stuff like that. I'm like last minute everything. Like I'm doing like next week and I'll be in Jersey.
You go week by week kind of thing?
Yeah, because the thing is I'll have comedians hit me up and be like, yo, what are you doing this day? Or, you know, or I forget that I even booked stuff out with people. You know what I mean? I know like this month I have a few things coming up, but next weekend I'll be with Mike Marino in Jersey, Bananas Comedy Club, 4 shows, Saturday and Sunday, Friday, Saturday. Then the following week I'll be at Governor's in New York with Nikki Schmigs. It's his show.
I'll be in there.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, there's a lot of, and then in between, just doing random ass things.
What advice would you have for like an aspiring stand-up comedian coming up, or like a young kid coming up? Do you have any piece of advice for anyone?
Yeah, definitely. I would get a different job first off. Find a career. You know what I'm saying?
And definitely then, don't do it as your full-time job.
Yeah, once you have that career, then maybe like dibble and dab. Nah. I mean,
it's not easy. Everyone's trying to do this shit now.
You got to keep writing. That's it. You have to just try to just keep coming up with material.
Right, because it's like everyone is trying to do this shit now. It's like, how do you differentiate yourself?
You got
to
be funny.
I have my real estate license, bro, right? Like, it's the same thing with that. Everyone has their real estate license. Everyone's trying to rent out apartments and sell houses. It's hot out here, man.
Social media.
It's fucking hot. Whatever media. You do out here, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Social media, man. If you can find a way to plug a niche.
Want fast money, go work in a restaurant. There'll be a way to make fucking a few hundred.
Yeah, you gotta separate, like you said, you gotta separate yourself from the rest. What's gonna, you know what I mean? Like, I'm, my thing is the Italian, like, you know.
Well, bro, even on that social media one we did when you came in the deli and we were like, that joke sucks. People in the comments were like, this, bro, that joke was fucking funny. Everybody's but like, even something little as that, it's like, oh, pork chop, let me click on his, bro, shit, he's a comedian. Once he can perform it, you know what I mean? Like, that's how people can get to you too. So I think social media is definitely a huge tool to differentiate yourself. But also, like you said, bro, and it's the same thing for what we do with the videos. You're just gonna make good shit. It's gonna be good first,
And people get to know. See, that's what I've been slacking on social media, because it's, you know, when you, like, you know who I am now. Like, you've hung out with me a few times. You got to know me, like, you know, on, like, off camera. It's like we're fucking around, we're laughing, we're having a good time. So it's like I need to bring people into that with me, like just me being me, so that they could appreciate my comedy. Because when you don't, when you go, like when I'm opening for people, it's their crowd. So I have to win them over every single time I get on stage. Like, you don't, like half of them don't know me. There's a few that maybe do, but for the majority, it doesn't. And I got to win them over. So I got to take them on this journey, make you understand who I am, make you like me. And then once I get to that point and I see everyone's demeanor, then I could dive into some funny jokes that,
that's dope,
like being myself, for a sure, little wild, sure, you know?
Yeah, there's a whole strategy behind it.
Right.
You know? But I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Well, thank you for coming on, brother. Thanks. I had a good time. Simone, you got any closing 9/11 questions? Or any
did you have any pets that died recently?
The whole hour I've been thinking about what's for dinner.
Yeah, we should go get some food after this.
I'm shaking.
Want to go down to Norwell? My fucking tits are hanging to hang them.
We can either go eat at my aunt's restaurant, or we can go to Linwood Cafe.
Tell the people where to find you on social media.
You can find me at in a bunker or some kind of survival shelter if the TikTok comes true. But then if not, we could find me at Pork Chops Comedy.
With a Z, right?
With a Z, because I like to make things difficult.
Porky.
You know what I'm saying?
Porky.
Yeah, Pork Chops Comedy, Instagram, TikTok.
The whole everything.
Face Buke for the Zips.
Face, you know? Libre.
Nah, it's a Face Buke. You know what I mean? Because it's a female book.
How many words of Italian you know altogether?
Like 4 1/4.
Sounds good.
You know what I'm saying? Because I never finished the word. You know?
Right. Well, Pork Chop, thanks for coming on, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
At the end of the day, guys, it's all content. It's content.
It's all content. It's
fucking
content.
It's content
on all social media platforms. I can tell who's
on the way out. It's content. 25 shows, check the bell. I ain't going home, I'm gonna stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out. And she gonna let me hit it any day now. What you gonna say now? My ex-girl got a bait now. But she still let me stay now. I got a Dallas and a H-Town boo. Got a Betty on Cape Town too.